Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Real Point of View here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Greg, and I am the Real Movie Guy, and I'm here with Larry, the Must See Movies film critic on Facebook, and we're here to talk about an actor that we both respected, who has sadly passed away, and that's Leonard Nimoy. And we know that Leonard Nimoy, and especially those of you out there who are familiar with Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy played the sometimes quiet but very wise and reflectful Spock on Star Trek, the TV series, and also the movies that came after. But we wanted to kind of stay away from the thing that people know Leonard Nimoy for the most, which is us as fans looking at him as Spock. We wanted to do a little bit more as far as being respectful to him about some of the other works that he has done over his long career. And so we decided to look at other films and situations dealing with Leonard Nimoy and going back to some of his early works. And we're just going to try to mention a few of those in hopes that you'll take the time out to delve into him a little bit further after we're done and see some of the films that we've seen and also get into some of the other fine works that he's done from this really good actor and humanitarian. So, Larry, you and I both try to do some of our due diligence in trying to see some of these films. What films were you able to take a look at?
Well, he has a couple of separate careers that are very distinctive. First of all, he has a huge career on television, and for a good, two, three decades, he was all over the screen, especially in the 60s. Everything from Sea Hunt to Rawhide, The Untouchables, Combat, Perry Mason, Man from U.N.C.L.E., even Get Smart, for all crying out loud. But in the films, he did all sorts of stuff before the Star Trek movies kicked in, and a lot of people our age remember him in The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake of that, where he did a pretty darn good job. He was nominated for an award in that one, but before that, he did some interesting roles. The famous Francis the Mule movies, Francis Goes to West Point. He was, I believe, football player number 52. He has speaking roles. And you could tell at that point, since he was uncredited but still had speaking roles, you could tell that they were trying to get him noticed, whoever got him on that film. And he did a really good job at a small role in that interesting film. One of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time is the movie Them, about these gigantic ants that take over the Southwest, and he's in that as well. But it really comes down to 1966, also 1963, I just found out a moment ago, but 1966, he produced and starred in a version, a rendition of Death Watch, a Jean Genet play. Jean Genet was a French playwright in the 40s, wrote a lot of very angst-driven plays about how low can humanity get. This is not something you would normally see a person that we know, Spock, you know, we know Leonard Nimoy, Nimoy of doing. But this production is a good production. It's very difficult to take a theatrical production and put it on film without rewriting it for film. But they do a pretty good job at doing it. It was directed by Vic Morrow, famous for the combat television series in the 60s. He plays Jules Lefranc, a small-time jewel thief who gets thrown into prison to do hard time with some very rough men. And in this adaptation, he plays this jewel thief, and he's like the guy who's just trying to survive to get out. There's another guy who's in there for life, and there's another guy who's in there, and he's like the kingpin. He's like the guy who owns the prison from the inside. And there is this love-hate triangle between these three men, and it's a tough one. He does a pretty darn good job. I'd really recommend, if you haven't seen anything but Leonard Nimoy as Spock, to get into some of these other films and other TV shows that he was in, he does a really good job.
I was able to come across a movie by Leonard Nimoy that I thought was pretty interesting. It was one of his earlier works. It came out the same year, 1952, as Francis Goes to West Point. And the name of the movie is Kid Monk Barony. Basically, this is a Barony.
Barony.
My apologies for phonetics. Kid Monk Barony. And in this film, it's one of those classic films that talks about going from a impoverished neighborhood where you're trying to make it and do things. You're trying to be a better person, but the streets has its hold on you. And so in this film, he plays a gang leader of a small gang of kids who are in this neighborhood and trying to make ends meet. The families are impoverished. It's a pretty sad situation. And very reminiscent of Boys Town-ish, there's a minister, a priest, who sees these boys and tries to get them out of their bad habits and invites them to the church that ironically has a gym. And he goes from being this gang leader to being a better person to trying to find a vehicle out, and the vehicle in this particular movie is boxing. So early on in this film, or throughout the film, but early on in his career, he was actually in a boxing movie, which is kind of a mixture of Rocky meets Boys Town. But in all kidding aside, it was actually a pretty decent film. And I actually enjoyed watching this film. And as Larry was saying, this is one of those times where, you know, he's starting to show that he's got some acting chops. And in this particular film, of course, he was credited in this film. But you can see the early acting chops, and that Leonard Nimoy was going to, you know, continue to build on throughout his career. And as Larry said before, this is a really busy actor. Not so much in major films, but a lot of film and television, lots of television, and quality shows. In fact, I do remember him on Mission Impossible, taking the place of, what is his name? Trying to remember the actor that he took the place of. It was, I cannot think of the name of the actor right now. Starts with an M. Walter Matthau. Nope. What is his name? Well, we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
But but just a cerebral actor for sure. As Larry said, multi-talented. He was a director, producer, in films that he was involved in as an actor as well. Watched a movie with him the other night, which I think is a whimsical movie, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a Western, and not overly known Western, but a pretty good one, where Leonard Nimoy also shows his tougher side, and he's actually a pretty evil bounty hunter type in this film. And it's called Catlow, which stars Yul Brynner as the main character, and it also stars Richard Crenna. And there's a love relationship, a very metrosexual relationship between Yul Brynner's character and Richard Crenna's character in this particular film. And the person that tends to try to spoil it every step of the way as they're being chased, and it's kind of a three-man chase. Yul Brynner is being chased by Richard Crenna. Richard Crenna and Yul Brynner are being chased by Leonard Nimoy's character, Miller. And it's just one of these situations where, you know, it's a cat and mouse all the way, and hide-and-go-seek it feels like. And it's a fun Western, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun. So if you get an opportunity, you want to catch Catlow. Now, it's not one of those films that's going to win an Academy Award or anything like that, but it is entertaining. And I like that fact that Leonard Nimoy is, of all the people in the film, he's the person you like the least, and so he does a really good job of being the person that you just do not like. And I think that's really good acting when you see that person you just don't like.
You know, he arrived on the scene when they were really looking for actors who could, without saying a word, just shift their eyes over a little bit and speak volumes. And he could do that. He could do that real well. I refer to scenes that he was in like in the Mission Impossible stuff, where something would happen and he would just glance over, and not in judgment, but in observation. And yet at the same time, you know, he knew how to do that so that we were looking with him, and yet at the same time, we were looking at him doing it. Very effective, a physical actor. Another film related to the one I talked about a moment ago, related to Death Watch, another Jean Genet film.
Before you jump to that film, I want to come back to what I said earlier, and I apologize to everybody. When I was talking about Mission Impossible, when Leonard Nimoy took the place of, it was the actor that he took the place of was Martin Landau.
That's right.
That's who I was mixed up with, and who had been on Mission Impossible for quite a few years. And once he left the cast, they filled his spot with Leonard Nimoy for about another 3 or 4 years. So, okay, I'm sorry, Larry. Go ahead. What were you going through?
That's right. Another hard drama work that was done was a film version of The Balcony, but this one was filmed as a film and not as a play, not just filming a play. What a great cast! It stars Shelley Winters, Peter Falk, Ruby Dee, Lee Grant, and Leonard Nimoy. And what's interesting also in this one came out in 1963, and Jean Genet helped actually write the film script for it. They took out all of the really harsh swearing out of it, and they had to do it in such a way where it didn't lose its intent. Mind you, if you go and see this play, it is raw, it is filled with obscenity, and in many cases, it's done entirely in the nude. This is not done in the nude. It was 1963, for crying out loud. So I would, again, recommend this one as well. As a matter of fact, it recently came out in 2000 on DVD. So it is available. This one is available on DVD. Again, I recommend that people take a good look at this one.
And going back to Death Watch and also to Kid Monk Baroni, both of those are actually on YouTube. You can see those. So you don't even have to go to a video store or rent it online or anything. Those have been made available on YouTube. So you have an opportunity to see those. Now, there's a movie that I know about that they made it in basically two parts because the film's pretty long, and that's A Woman Called Golda, about Golda Meir, which is a biopic. And Leonard Nimoy plays Morris Meyerson, who actually is the husband of Golda Meir. And he does such a stellar job in this film that he gets nominated for an Emmy. He was not just a actor out there just working hard and doing everything and just being in a lot of different places, which he was, but he was also putting out really, really good quality work. And I only seen part of this particular film. It's a pretty long movie, but the parts that I've seen, he does a wonderful job, so I concur. Really good job in that film.
I remember that film, and I've seen it a couple of times, A Woman Called Golda. And let's face it, this is Ingrid Bergman really, you know, being the marvelous performer she is, doing an excellent job. It makes sense that Leonard Nimoy gets nominated for that award. This, if you remember, if anyone has seen this, it came out in 77. Oh, no, it didn't come out in 77. Where did it come out? It came out in 82?
82.
Golda Meir was not
overly flamboyant, but very educated a woman, and who yielded a lot of power, especially back then when women weren't necessarily considered very powerful as far as politics was concerned. And she was a woman of such mental girth that she ended up becoming Israel's prime minister back in the...
Yeah, and she was a very controversial figure. And really had this strong belief, and brought her religious belief as well as her political belief. She made no bones about it that in some cases they are one and the same, and sometimes they are different. And a very controversial figure of the 1960s.
Now, speaking of religion, where that was a very, as you stated, kind of the irony of marrying religion and state, another movie showing another side of Leonard Nimoy's talent is a movie that's a biblical movie. There was a series of movies that were made for television that depicted different, quote-unquote, heroes of the Bible. And this particular piece that I'm referring to is... one that dwells and focuses on King David. And in this particular film, David is being counseled and goes up against what he believes to be what God's will is and what the prophet of the time believes that what God's will is, and he tries to convey this to David. And the prophet is Samuel, played by Leonard Nimoy. Another situation where now he's vocal in the sense, soft-spoken to some degree, but also assertive and demanding of this king to follow the laws of God, follow the laws of the Old Testament. And he does a really good job.
Absolutely. I think that if I was going to encapsulate all of this wealth of content that he played parts in, whether it's movies, television, video games, and other things that he did too. His poetry, he was well known for his poetry. He was well known for a couple of other things. For instance, that really wacky thing, you could go to Google it, The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins by Leonard Nimoy. It's a doozy. That's all I can say about that. But if I could take all of this, Greg, and if you'll let me for a moment, and I want to hear what you have to say about this because it's important, is that here's a guy who started off just to be an actor, to be good or bad, and certain things happened in his life, in his professional career, that said, you know something, there's more to this than just looking good and saying your lines. And then he rolls with it, and he rolls with his newfound knowledge, and he becomes one of the most memorable icons in film and television history.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is, if you read the interviews and the biographies done on him, he was known in his early career as the man that was forgotten. For instance, they forgot to put his picture in his high school yearbook. In several movies that he was in, where he's listed as uncredited, he wasn't supposed to be uncredited. He was supposed to be credited. And it happened a lot throughout his life. And he didn't have fight against that. He just rolled with it and said, okay, I don't like it, but what are you going to do? Let's go on. Just an incredible a person who really didn't let fame get to him for a while. If you remember the book that he wrote called I Am Not Spock, and then years later he writes another autobiography called I Am Spock, both very interesting. They have more to do with what was going on in his life at the time than liking or not liking the character of Spock. So what if you were going to sum it all up, if you were going to take his whole life and talk about the whole his whole work, body of work, what would you say, Greg?
I say this is a guy, not only is he a talented person that's obvious by the work that we're able to see as consumers, but here's a guy who, as you alluded to, didn't let other people's limitations limitate him. I remember seeing a TV show where he was talking about things that he could do and couldn't do, and at the time, it was What's My Line, and they had to try to guess who he was, and basically he was saying, I don't sing, I don't dance, I don't play any instruments. He said, but I'm ever evolving, ever learning things that come across my path, and he says that it's exciting. And he did make a comment about Star Trek, and they asked him if he had, been into science and stuff as he grew up, and he said no, he didn't. It really didn't interest him about space and things like that, but because of being on the show, he took it a little bit more seriously and started to just get into some of the information just to be relevant, as it was relevant to the show, and found himself getting taken away by all this scientific matter and things like that. And it got to the point where now, at that time, he had become much more proficient in understanding and as far as space, and actually started getting really involved in NASA and things like that. And then here's Spock years later, makes an album where he's singing and playing the guitar. So here's a guy who, yeah, he might not have done it back then, but he never let those things stop him. He was ever evolving, ever asserting himself and challenging himself. And we're the recipients of that challenge, that of the things that we were able to see and watching this particular actor getting better and better with his trade, so much so that he went from being in front of the camera to being behind the camera. His humanitarian efforts, his speeches, his going to campuses and being a keynote speaker for all these different things that early in his career he had no interest in, or seemingly had no interest in. You know, so for me to sum up Leonard Nimoy would be, here's a guy who never let other people's limitations limit him, ever evolving and ever productive and seemingly instructive at the same time. I think that's living a real life, a very valid life, that's helping yourself by all means, but also sharing all that knowledge and wisdom and understanding and new abilities that he was able to obtain over time with the rest of us. I think that's how I would sum him up, every evolving humanitarian.
You know, one of the films that he played an important part in as a director was the 1988 film Three Men and a Baby.
With Tom Selleck,
Tom Selleck, Ted Danson, and Steve Guttenberg. And all three were pretty much at the height of their popularity at the time. This movie is not a great movie. It's not a great movie. It's a redo of the French film. But these three guys, Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, and Ted Danson, they do this film good. It's a fun film. It's lighthearted. It's not mean-spirited at all. And the director, Leonard Nimoy. And here's the cool thing about it was, it won the award for Best Comedy in the People's Choice Awards that year. That's something to say when you're doing something. Maybe the critics don't like it because they're expecting something different. But when the people themselves, when they get involved and they turn it on or they go to the movie theater and see it, then it's got more than just the value of existence. It's actually doing something, and it's actually moving people. And Nimoy was able to do that with almost everything he did. Whether it was good or bad or indifferent, people turned out to see it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed our conversation about an actor that we both respected, Mr. Leonard Nimoy. He will be missed, but at the same time, we have an opportunity to see some of the films that he's done, the TV episodes that he's done, and even listen to some of the speeches that he discussed different humanitarian efforts at the same time. If you get an opportunity, check on YouTube first. Go to your local library. There's a lot of DVDs in the libraries anymore, and you'll find a lot of his work there. But do yourself a favor. Get to know Leonard Nimoy a little bit more, as we did, and as we try to do a lot of these actors, fine actors and actresses that we come across. Want to thank you for listening in. Check us out at A Real Movie Guy on Twitter. Check out Larry's Pocket reviews on must-see movies on Facebook. And we'll be coming to you soon with some more information about our new website. And you'll be able to get more information there. And also A Real Point of View on Facebook as well. But again, thanks for hanging out with us. You have a wonderful night. And Larry, go ahead and say it.
Yeah. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper, everybody. Good night.